You guys ready to go? All right, we're starting a new series, and it's called The Spirit-Filled Life. Michelle drew me this picture, so it's the day of Pentecost. It's tongues of cloven, tongues as a fire coming upon the believers, and then it's, of course, the Spirit-Filled Life. Today's message, I'm calling it Changing, or You Demand. Would you say that back to me? You Demand. Say it. So go ahead. You say it. You demand. Now, I want you to change this a little bit and say, I'm demand. Go ahead. I'm demand. Even if you're a woman, go ahead and say, I'm demand. I'm demand. Good, good. And this is going to be the primary thought that I want us to get across today, is that the Spirit-filled life is constantly changing. If the Spirit of God truly dwells in you and has His way in your life, you will never cease to change. And you are the man. You are the person. We're going to be talking about that. It'll make a little bit more sense. But I'm trying to hook things up that'll cause us to remember certain things. But you the man. Now, before we read our scriptures today, I just want to begin by asking a question or two or three. And so let's ask this one. Is there anything that you would like to see changed about that person on your left or right? Is there anything that you think would benefit you or this person if they were to change something in their life? What would you answer that? The neat thing about that is there's probably somebody sitting on your left or your right, so there may be something about you that needs changing, and that person might like to see changed about you. The truth of the matter is that there's not a whole lot we can do about changing ourselves. That is the job of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to show you that in just a second. Another fact about the changing is that is the job of the Holy Spirit, and if the Holy Spirit is truly in our lives, we will change. We will change. The primary thing and the first lesson that we've got to learn about the Holy Spirit is that there is a change that's going to constantly be going on in our lives. He's going to constantly be challenging us, stretching us, checking out the way we think about things, bringing us into test to not injure us in any sort of a way, but to fire us and to purify us and to bring us into a place where we can become overcomers. And by the way, with that thought, let me go ahead and mention this. Wednesday night, we're beginning, not this Wednesday night, right? Wednesday week. Beginning a Wednesday night study. Doug Aker's going to be sharing about it. It's going to be the heart of an overcomer. And we've been going through it in our disciple class, and he's already got it for 3 weeks. And just really want you to come. Because it goes right along with what we're talking about here, the heart of an overcomer. And what the Spirit of God wants us to do is become an overcomer. So let me ask you another question. What is the potential of a human life? Think about this. Now, what is the potential of a human life that is totally submitted to the changing of the Holy Spirit? If a person has a life that is totally submitted to the changing or the leading or the guiding of the Holy Spirit, what is the potential of that life? Any ideas, any thoughts? Would anybody just venture to say something right in the middle of my message here? Would you? Pardon? Unlimited. Good. Pardon? Fruitfulness, sure. All those are true. But we've been given a picture in the Scriptures. There is an answer, and we've been given a picture, and the picture is Jesus Christ. The potential of a human person, a being, who is in total submission to the Spirit of God, and leads a life that is filled with the Spirit, the potential of that person is not only Jesus, and hear me what I hear, I'm trying to say it, but even more than what Jesus did. You're looking at me really funny. That's just about blasphemy, isn't it? I just about said something. I might as well just about cuss then, right? Because you see, we have this problem, which leads me to the third question and the last question that I want to present at this particular moment. If then we can't quite be changed to the image of Jesus, or we can't ever get to where Jesus is, then why does the Bible tell us that the Spirit of God is going to change us to that image? Is the Bible confused? Is God confused? Is Jesus confused? You see, my point is this. is that the Spirit-filled life, a person who is enjoying a Spirit-filled life, is being changed and conformed into the very image of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means do what He does in greater things. Think like He thought. Take a moment and ask the Spirit of God, what should I do in this situation? Can you imagine what life would be like if in every temptation we just stopped and said, now, Holy Spirit, what should I do? And then do what He said do. And every time when we have an opportunity to evangelize or minister to someone, if we just stopped and said, Holy Spirit, now, what should I do? What should I say? What is the potential of that person? Well, with that said, let's read some scriptures, okay? So I want you to stand with me, and as our custom, let's stand and let's read together as loud as you will. The scriptures that I've selected, I want to comment at each scripture just to make sure I make a point or two. So read with me, and after we finished, we'll pray, and then we'll see what the Lord has to say. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The primary job of the Spirit of the Lord is to change us into the glory of Jesus. Wow. Is that okay? It's the Spirit's job. A person who is living and enjoying the Spirit-filled life will be changed. You can't help it. It's just what happens to you. Then reading in John chapter 14 and verse 12 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. What are we supposed to do? Just what Jesus did? No, no, no. The person who is being changed by the Spirit can not only do what Jesus did, but even do greater works. Is that okay? All right. Luke 4:18. Jesus says this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Read, please. Because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. What about that? Let's pray. Father, Lord, help us to see now the potential of a life that is truly filled and led by your Spirit. An individual who will truly submit themselves to you. The potential, the possibilities. Help us to see, Lord, a true image of Jesus. Not a false image. Not a religious image. But something that we can obtain unto. I ask you to help us now through your anointing. Bless us. Bless me, Lord, to share. Bless people to hear. Let us all receive what you want us to see today and hear today. We ask these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated. Okay. In the previous passage in Luke chapter 4 that we've just read, Jesus was reading in a synagogue, and you maybe remember the story. He had been baptized in chapter 3, and he was baptized, and the Bible says that as he was baptized, came up out of the water, the heavens opened, and what happened to him? The Spirit of God came upon him, and then he led him. Actually, it said it drove him into the wilderness to be tested or tempted of the devil. He was there 40 days. He came back from that. He went to the synagogue. And at the synagogue, he turned to the place in Isaiah. It says, or he scrolled, actually. And then he says this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he's telling them, you know, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. Now, what he's doing is Isaiah wrote this, and it's actually recorded for us in Isaiah chapter 61. But it was actually written over 700 years before Jesus read it. Isaiah wrote it 700 years. And what it is a prophecy about the Messiah who is to come. And what Jesus did as he stood there and he read that, he stood there and he read it and he said, today it's fulfilled in your ears. And the way that I would say it, and maybe we would say it today, is, I'm the man. Jesus says, I'm the man. And what did those in the synagogue say? You're not the man. Jesus said, I'm the man. How many of you know that wherever you feel like there's an anointing, there's somebody there that's going to say, no, you're not anointed. Every time that the Spirit of God tries to move from you, there's going to be something that's going to try to stop the Spirit of God moving in you. But Jesus says, I'm the man. Was he the man? Jesus was the man. And we know what happened. He says, I'm the man. Now, the Bible says that we're to be changed into his image, to be conformed, changed into his image. And we'll talk a little bit more about what that means in just a second. But is that possible? Are we comfortable? Are we cold? Or how are we doing? Everything okay? I hear freezing. Okay, maybe need to cut something down a little bit. But anyway, Jesus says, I'm the man. And then, well, we're going to talk about what being conformed to his image. But we have a religious mindset that is nearly blasphemy to say that I can be like Jesus. To say I'm the man. But yet the Bible I've showed you already says that we will be conformed to his image even by the Spirit. And also will I not only do what Jesus did, I'll even do more than he did. Is that what it said? That's what the Bible says. And so we as a people can do that. And we should expect that to happen in our lives. The problem is that we really, now, I want you to hear me now. The problem is we really don't think Jesus was truly human. Well, we know he was the Son of God. And so what we kind of work into our mentality and into our thinking and through some teachings that is that he really wasn't totally human because he was kind of disguised as a human. He was really the Son of God disguised as a human. He was really the Son of God, but his disguise was Jesus. And I want to give you a 20th century visual here of something. I want you to see how this really works out. I'm going to give you a picture so that you can kind of see the teachings that we've kind of accepted into our lives. Because until we understand that we can be changed and conformed to that image, we'll never be changed or conformed to that image. But I want us to see a visual. I want to show you a picture here, and I want you to tell me who this is and see if it's not sort of what we think of today. Who is this? Huh? Who is this? It's Jared's dad. Who is this? Superman. Okay. Or is it Clark Kent? Huh? Ah. And this is kind of the idea that we have about Jesus. You see, Clark Kent was he was a mild-mannered, actually geeky reporter. But Superman, he was faster than a speeding bullet. He was more powerful than a locomotive. He could leap over tall buildings with a single bound. It's a bird. It's a plane. No. It's Superman. But he was always disguised as Clark Kent. You see, he was an alien. He was a foreign person, a foreign being from another planet. Who had abnormal abilities, who had supernatural abilities, abilities that were far superior to humans. And so therefore he could bend steel. And you know, I remember as I was a kid, I always liked to play Superman. Superman was my hero. I remember Mama pinning a towel on my shirt so I could have me the Superman cape and I could fly like Superman. Had X-ray visions, could bend steel. Bullets would bounce off of my chest, you know. I was powerful like a locomotive, man. I was something. Superman was my hero, but I could never be like Superman for two reasons. One is he really wasn't human. Two, he really wasn't real. But that's sort of what we see when we think about Jesus or when we think about being conformed to his image. That's something we can never attain unto. But the Bible says we can. The Bible says that the person that is truly led by the Spirit and filled by the Spirit and given themselves to the Spirit can come into this image, to this likeness. You see, Superman was real, Jesus was real. Superman wasn't. Unlike Superman, Jesus hungered. Jesus grew. Jesus grew in wisdom, the Bible says. Jesus had to learn. The Bible says that he wept, he cried. The Bible says he experienced hunger and thirst. Unlike Superman, Jesus did these things. He experienced rejection. He experienced all kinds of things that you and I experienced. Bullets and spears didn't bounce off his side. He bled and he died. Jesus was real. The difference of Jesus is that he was totally submitted to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God was there in his conception. He was born of the Spirit. And we are born of the Spirit. Jesus was led by the Spirit. And the Bible says that we are to be led by the Spirit. The Bible says that in every aspect of Jesus' life, it was in submission to the Holy Spirit. He cast out devils by the Spirit. He ministered by the Spirit. He lived by the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. Every part of the life of Christ was through the Spirit. Everything. It's a Spirit-filled life. Jesus wasn't Superman. Jesus was real. Jesus was led by the Spirit. Now, I want to show you something. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, the Bible says here that seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points, how many? All points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Was Jesus tempted? How many points? How many things was he tempted in? Just like you and I are tempted. But the difference was, is it because of the Spirit he was able to stay away from sin? The Spirit-filled life, the person that is truly has the Spirit of God in their life and is led by the Spirit and is filled with the Spirit will overcome. Will overcome. And we'll take a moment and ask God in every situation, what should I do? What should I do in witnessing to this person? What should I do in ministering to this person? What should I do in serving this person? It just takes a second. But we've got to learn how to just take that moment and ask. I want to talk about someone else who wasn't quite as sinless as was Jesus. It wasn't even really close to the sinlessness of Jesus. I want to talk about someone else because I want us to relate to the anointing. See, I think we have this idea that when we're anointed, we can do no wrong. When we're anointed, we're nearly perfect. I want us to know that that's not true at all. I want you to know you can be anointed and really mess up badly. I want you to know because this is real stuff I'm wanting to share with you. I'm not wanting to project it in a Superman fairy tale situation. I want to be real. I want to bring this into a few minutes into reality because tomorrow you're going out into the real world. You're going to meet people with real problems. You're going to find people that don't know Jesus. You're going to need to minister to somebody or serve somebody this week. And I really want to bring this home to us so that we can be examples of a Spirit-filled life. In the Old Testament, what happened when a person was anointed of God, they were a priest or someone or a prophet would take what was called a horn of oil. It was an animal's horn, and after it had dried, it was hollowed out, and so it was filled with oil and capped, and then the person would go and anoint the person to be anointed. Now, there was nothing magical in the oil. There was nothing magical in the horn. All this was something that would identify to this person that they were anointed. And in the book of 1 Samuel, in chapter 16 and verse 13, we read there that then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Now, what happened is that Samuel went and he found David. Now, was David without sin? Somebody help me a little bit. When we think of David, what do we think of? Most of the time we think of mess ups. But he was anointed. And the Spirit of God was upon him. From the day he was anointed on. Just because David messed up with Bathsheba killed Uriah didn't move the Spirit off his life. And because we goof up, because we do dumb things, doesn't mean we're still not anointed and God can't use us. And when David, when Samuel went and he poured that horn of oil on David in the midst of his brothers, what Samuel was saying to David is, you demand. David, you demand. What did David's brother say? You're not the man. David says, I am the man. And from that day forward, David was the man. And he led a life that was led by the Spirit. What I'm trying to communicate here is, yes, the goal is Jesus. The goal is to have the anointing that Jesus had. But at the same time, we've got to realize that we're going to goof up, we're going to mess up. But what that can't do is stop us from changing and conforming into His image. Do you agree with that? Okay. Now, the success of Christ's ministry and life was that He could change with the Spirit. The success of David's life and David's ministry is that he could change with the Spirit. The success of you or I is that we'll be able to change with the Spirit. The person that is led by the Spirit will have a Spirit-filled life. You're led by the Spirit. You're guided by the Spirit. You have a mission from God. The anointing upon a life is simply saying you have a mission now from God. How many of you believe you're anointed? Would you slip your hand up and say, I think I'm anointed? I think that's most of us. Well, I want to assure you that you are. Just as Jesus was anointed not by oil and not by a prophet, but by what? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He, who's He? For He hath anointed me. Who anointed Jesus? The Spirit of the Lord. We've got to realize the same thing that happened to you and I. The Spirit of the Lord, the reason that He's come into our lives is to anoint us. We have a mission for God. There is something that every individual is called and purposed to do. And what we need to realize is that we are anointed. I'm the man. I want you to look at another scripture with me in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. Now He which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. What is that saying? When Jesus realized that the Spirit of God was upon Him, He somewhat said, I'm the man. When David realized that he was anointed of God, he realized he was the man. When you realize that the Spirit of God is upon you, I want you to realize you the man. You the one. You can do it. You can get the job done. In every situation, you can get it done. The first thing that the Spirit of God will do is come upon us and anoint us, and from that day forward, He never leaves us. From that day forward, He will change us and we will be conformed unto the very image of Jesus Christ. Now, that's kind of the teaching that I want to do today. I want you to know, though, that the Spirit-filled life is a life that is in constant adjustments and constant change. Let me give you just some thoughts on this. There's going to be a constant change in our thinking. That's called repentance. When the Spirit of God is truly in an individual's life, and they're truly submitted to that Spirit, that person will consistently adjust their thinking. How many of you have seen me change the way I think about certain things over these years? And I'm not done yet. Because I really realize that I'm being changed, I'm being conformed, and that we all are. Your life will be a constant change in the way you think. You may even think you know a specific doctrine and a specific teaching, only to find out that you need to change. You need to change the way you think about something. That's the Spirit-filled life. There's going to be a change in that. There's going to be a time where you'll want to change and take chances. Take chances for Jesus. Take chances in witness. You know, take a risk and try to bring somebody into the kingdom of God. Or take a risk and show that you have a love for Jesus. There'll be times when you'll change a thinking about how you're going to be sedated and really want to come into a place where you can be outspoken. It'll be a change in the way you look at God and see God. I really hope today I've helped you a little bit see that Jesus was really human. We have a Superman mentality, but I hope I've shown you that it's not like a Superman. Now, he was the Son of God. But while he was here, he was human. He was human. And we're going to see God in a totally different way as we are submitted to the things of the Spirit. We'll have a different way and outlook towards people. When the Spirit of God is truly in an individual's life, you can't help but love people. Come on, somebody. Help me a little bit here. You can't help it. And when you're mean to people, or when you say something you shouldn't have said or do something you shouldn't have done to a person, you're convicted. Yeah. So we change. And we try not to do that again. We change our thinking. We change towards people. We change toward God. We take chances for Christ. And here's what I want us to see now as we begin to move into some skits and just look at some real-time stuff. Another thing that was going to happen to us is that we're going to change in the way we approach evangelism. If we are truly filled with the Spirit of God, we're going to take every opportunity as we grow in this thing and be filled with the Spirit of God. We're going to take every opportunity to bring somebody into the kingdom. We have opportunities all the time, and we avoid them. And then suddenly, after we're out of the situation, we'll think back, man, I should have said this. I should have done this. And the reason that we didn't was simply because we just didn't ask the Spirit to help us, to change us, to help us. Another thing that we're going to be seeing here in just a second is not only the way we evangelize, but the way we minister to people. We should always be looking for a time when the Spirit of Christ is truly filling a person. They're always looking for an opportunity to minister. Minister to people. Help people. Do something for people. And the third thing that we're going to see is we always look for an opportunity to serve. To serve. There's something about a Christian that wants to serve Christ, wants to serve the body, wants to serve the church. Something about that. That's the Spirit of God. So that's what I want us to try to see right now. So if my real people will come up here, these are not super people. These are real people. They're going to help me show us a couple of things, work through some drama skits for us. And what we're going to first see is how it works out when we're not being led of the Spirit. And then we're going to rewind the video and play it again as though we are led by the Spirit. And what I want us to see, and the reason I'm doing this is because tomorrow, every one of us will not be in these four walls. We're going to be out there with real people on real jobs, with real people that need to be saved, with real people that are hurting, with real people that need to be served. And so I want to work this through. I want to work this out. The Spirit-filled life will take a moment and ask God, how do I do this? If I'm the man, if I'm really anointed, how do I do this? So let's see how this all works out. All righty, let's start. Me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. What this means is there is no one that can't come into the kingdom of God. There's nobody too poor. There's nobody too rich. Everybody can receive this, but they'll never know until we share it with them, until we invite them, until we bring them in. So what was happening here is we saw a situation where an opportunity was available for us to invite someone to come to church or to minister to somebody about what they can do with their Sundays or to even help them with their children. But yet we were off in space somewhere thinking about football, thinking about something else. Now, we're going to rerun the video again. We're going to look at it again. And this time, though, we're going to take a moment. And we're going to ask the Spirit of God, because every one of us, every day of our lives, have critical crossroads. Say that back to me. That's a good statement. critical crossroads where we are intersecting with lives of people. And if we make the right choice, we influence them for the kingdom. And if we don't make the right choice, then we've lost the opportunity. It's a critical crossroad. It's a moment that we need to stop and realize and ask the Spirit of God now to help me understand what I need to say and what I need to do. Lead me, change me, help me to minister to this person. Okay?
Hey, Jeff, how's it been going?
Oh, pretty good, I guess.
Well, how are the kids?
Oh, they're with their father this weekend.
Oh, we're getting along. Sounds very nice.
No, I just turned adult.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she knows. It's the same every Sunday. Sleep in, read the paper, pay bills. I really am this poor.
Oh, I don't think so. I think you just need to get out.
Yeah, but what's to do on Sunday?
Well, you can go to church. No, I think church is fun.
Where are you going right now?
Well, see, at our church, we have a band and we have an excellent drummer. And, you know, I think my kids are always talking about throughout the week how they're so excited about going on. I think if you were to come, your kids would really like it. In fact, I think you would like it.
Really? Well, I'll give it some consideration.
Good. Good. Good.
Person in this room knows someone that they would like to see changed into the kingdom, brought into the kingdom. God will give you interventions. God will give you critical crossroads, moments in time, moments that you can't recapture, moments that we just got to ask the Spirit of God, Spirit of God, show me, tell me, let me realize that I'm in a critical crossroad and that I need to minister here. Help me. Every person knows somebody. Now, here's what I want you to start doing, is I want you to start praying, Lord, when I'm with this person that I'm really wanting to see come into the kingdom of God, go ahead and give me wisdom. Let me identify the moment. Let me recognize that this is a critical crossroad for this person. It can mean their eternity in heaven with you or in hell in flames of fire. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help me see this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Are you the man? Are you the man? Are you the man? I'm asking. Okay, you demand. So then, be able to reach people with evangelism. Let's look at something else now. Jesus not only talked about the Spirit of God was upon him to preach the gospel. He says that the Spirit of God was upon him to heal people and minister to people. In Luke 4:18, let me read this part to you. It's in the same passage that we read earlier. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Another thing that the Spirit of God will do in an individual's life is not only lead them to preach or minister or to share the gospel with people, but it will also help us, lead us, and guide us to help people that are hurting. It'll help people that are hurting. And I want to let them do this skit. And because so oftentimes what we do is we get caught up in our own little world. We forget what we really need to be doing is ministering to people, and we forget about ministering to people because we're so into what we're doing and what we're about. Let's look at the skit.
Hey, how you been? I saw you driving a new car.
Yeah, it's a
rental. Oh.
Yeah, on the way home last night, my car broke down.
Oh, cars can be such a pain.
It's not me. The shop called me saying, you know, only did the transmission go out, the water pump. What are the chances that that happened? You know, not really today.
Yeah, sometimes it does. You know, well, when
What's wrong with that picture? Here's a person, besides, he forgot his, the great drama team. The problem was, here was a hurting person. And they were in a financial mess, in the divorce, all this stuff, car broke down. And here they are hurting. And all we're thinking about is how blessed we are, how much money we've got, how our stocks went up, how you know, we got we're loaded. Now, how's this making the other person feel? Sure. I mean, they're feeling rotten. I want to share something with you that it took me years and years and years to learn. And I can help you and shortcut the process for you a little bit. A great counselor will listen to people. See, I had to learn that. I had to learn that people really weren't coming to find out my great wisdom. They were really coming just so they could talk about their problems. And just sound them out. They needed a sounding board. And it took me years and years and years to learn that. And now I'm going to give you three words that will help you every time you're ministering to somebody that's hurting. These words are, tell me more. Just tell me more. I'm here for you. You talk and you tell me more. Tell me more. What's the words? Tell me more. I want to listen. I want to hear what you're hurting. Maybe through it something will come out. And then following that up with tell me more. I'm so sorry. Jesus had compassion upon people. Need to say, tell me more. And I am so sorry. Is there anything I can do? Is there any way I can help you? I'll be praying for you or whatever. But tell me more. And is there anything I can do? Now let's rewind this one again now and go back through it and see how it looks this time after the Spirit of God has intervened and come into it. First one. When you're hurting, you just want somebody to listen to you and to have some sort of compassion for you. And if they'll listen to you when you're hurting, guess what else they'll do? Is they'll listen to you when you make that invitation. You see, we win their trust. We win people by listening, not by talking. Now think about it. You know me. You've watched me over these years. You know, what have I done the most damage with? My listening or my talking? Duh! See, when you learn to listen, you don't hurt people. When you want to hear what they have to say, you won't hurt them. When you just have compassion and say, I'm so sorry. Because if they really want your opinion, they'll ask you. Okay? One more. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord was upon me, for He hath anointed me to preach. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He sent me to heal those that are bruised and to express the acceptable year of the Lord. Do you realize what that means when Jesus says that? The acceptable year of the Lord. Is there anybody that the Lord won't accept? Is there anybody? It's the acceptable year of the Lord. It's the year of Jubilee. Now, you hear all this teaching about the Jubilee year and all that stuff, and it's come and gone and all that. What all it simply means is Jesus says, it's here, buddy. You can have access to God right now. You are received. You are accepted by God. It is the acceptable year. People want to hear that. Every year is the acceptable year of the Lord. It's not a specific year. One more thing Jesus said. He says, that the person that is greatest in the kingdom of God is what? Servant of all. The Spirit of the Lord, when it's in a person's life, it'll lead you in critical crossroads. It'll lead you not only to minister to people, it will not only lead you to have compassion upon people and heal their brokenheartedness and bruisedness, but it'll also lead you to serve people. The Spirit of the Lord will always leave us in a place of serving other people. If Jesus said, Jesus says the greatest commandment is what? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's not only upward, it's always outward. And when we love people, we really love people. We really want to serve them and minister to them. So we're going to do one more little skit for us, and then we'll close. How many of us realize that a lot of the people that we need to serve are the people that are the closest to us? See, sometimes it's easier for me to serve somebody that's not in my house than somebody that is in my house. Sometimes we just need to serve our spouse, our children, our parents. We need to serve people. We need to come to a place where we recognize that there's something that they need and that we can help them. We can help them. So let's run through this one more time. And let's see a little better response of a situation that's led by the Spirit. A situation where an individual stops and takes a moment and says, this is a critical crossroad. Because we can recognize critical crossroads out there, but sometimes we can't recognize them in our own homes. How many know there are critical crossroads in our own homes? Come on. Right? And we need to recognize those as well. So here we go. We'll watch it one more. Look at it one more time. Well, you think that would go over well? Go over well. Just doing little things. It doesn't have to be something big. Just something little for people will help them. And my points today is this, is that a person that is filled with the Spirit, has a life that is filled with the Spirit, is going to do more than talk in tongues. Come on now, we're going to discuss this. But if you're not seeking people to bring into the kingdom, and if you're not healing bruised people, and if you're not serving others, that's not being filled with the Spirit. Us in this circle of charismatics or whatever it is that we are, have such an association with tongues and things of the Spirit being gifts and that kind of stuff, but never really bring it into real life where we really want to minister to people, bring people into the kingdom of God. Come on, somebody help me just a little bit here now. And if we're not doing those things, we're really not filled with the Spirit. This is why I did this one first. This is why I wanted to share this first. He's going to change us first and foremost to go ye into all the world. He's going to change us to serve people. He's going to change us first to heal people. Nothing wrong. I'm a tongue talker. I believe in it. I love it. I like it. But I'm telling you what, if you're talking in tongues and you're not doing this other, you're just a sounding brass, come on, and a tinkling cymbal, because love is the more perfect way. Is that okay? It's all right. Now, we're going to talk about the other. We're going to. But if we're not getting this first, we're really missing it. We're really missing what the Spirit is all about. So the Spirit has anointed you, and you're on a mission for God, and you're going to have critical crossroads with people all the time. You're on a mission of God. You are the man. And the way He's going to continue to make you the man is by continuously changing you. Have we got that point today? So we submit our lives to the Holy Spirit, not just to talk in tongues, not just so we can prophesy, not just so we can get words of wisdom and words of knowledge, but we submit ourselves to the Spirit so that we can bring people into the kingdom. We submit ourselves to the Spirit so that we can heal wounded and broken people. We submit ourselves to the Spirit so we can serve one another. Tongues, interpretations of tongues and prophecies and all that will come. All you got to do is ask. Am I right? Okay. I want you to stand. Tomorrow you're going out into the real world. Maybe some will even happen today. You're going to meet people that need to come into the kingdom. You're going to need to move into evangelism. You got to take a moment and say, Spirit, help me. I want to be led by the Spirit. I want to change the way I'm going, and I want you to change me so that I can minister to this person. You're going to meet bruised people. You're going to meet hurting people. You got to take a moment and say, Spirit, change me. I want to help this person. Show me. Give me wisdom. Don't let me be so caught up into myself that I can't touch this person's life. You're going to go through life tomorrow, and you're going to meet other people that just need to be served. Just some little something you can do for them. And it's going to minister to their lives. It's going to bless them. This is a Spirit-filled life. This is a life that's led by the Spirit. And I really hope that we've been able to kind of show you this today and point this out to you. Take a moment. You are anointed by God. You are on a mission. You are on a mission of God. Go ye into all the world. Make disciples of all nations. Touch lives. That's our thing. Let's pray. Father, I thank you now. Father, help us. Help us be people that are truly filled with your Spirit and led by your Spirit. I hope we have seen, Lord, I hope we have seen that the primary purpose of the Holy Spirit is to change us. Change us from glory to glory. Change us into the image of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that every single life here will be a witness for you, that every single life will be able to minister to bruised people through you, and that every single life here will serve somebody and help someone this week. Help us, Lord. Bless us in every single way. In Jesus' name. Keep your heads bowed, please. You need ministry today. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's happening, you want to be touched of the Lord. You need somebody to pray with you. Something's going crazy in your life. You need a job. You need a ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. You need to be touched by Him. You need a healing in your body. That can happen. You need, we've heard reports this week of how people were healed just by prayer. You need something from God. Whatever that it is you need today, a financial breakthrough, you need something going crazy at work or your family, or you just need to feel more presence of the Lord in your life. We want to touch your life. We want to pray with you. We want to minister to you. Whatever your need is, I want you to come down right now and let us pray with you. Be coming at this moment. Father, we bless this time. We ask you, Lord, to touch our lives. Let us have a moment with you, a moment with the Spirit of God. Help us, Lord. Pour out your Spirit.
Pour out your Spirit, Lord, on your people. Pour out your Spirit, Lord, on your people. Let it rain. Pour out your mercy.
Need the elders, Lord, elders' wives, anybody that wants to pray, people. Just need them down here with me. The rest, everyone else,
your
can be seated.
Mercy, Lord. Pour out your mercy, Lord, on your people. Let it rain.